Hi, welcome back to Go Ham. Today we have a special guest. This is Joanna O'Brien. We're going to call her Privé Freshie. She is a level one stylist at our Malvern location, which opened just about a year ago. So welcome to the table. Today we're going to do a fun Unleashed episode where we break it down hot topics that are happening on social media, and we just kind of walk through them and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Cool.
So fun.
Before we get started, tell us a little bit about your career path and how you got to Privé.
So I worked at another salon for about 2 years, and I just didn't feel like I was growing anymore. I always knew I wanted to work for women mainly. Okay. Like, they're just more relatable, and I feel like good leaders. So when I found Privé, like, obviously, I was so nervous because there were so many girls, right? I was like, oh my gosh, this is nerve-wracking. But once I was there, like, and Dana, it was just perfect, you know?
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I feel like it's an interesting company because I think as leaders, like, I'm not into, like, the girl boss thing. But yet we have this company of, like, all women. Mm-hmm. And it seems to just keep trending that way. Not that we're saying we would never hire a man because it's the right fit fits.
I would say we're like masculine leaders though, don't you think?
I was going to say we're more like a professional sorority.
Sorry, that's like completely opposite.
I know, sisterhood.
I mean, there's structure, but there's fun. Yeah. There's like, we're here to get something done and accomplished, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like
it. We do hire men. Oh, yeah,
we do. We work with men.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's exciting. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
Feels really good that you feel that way about us, so thanks.
Yeah, I love
it. All right, let's get started.
Get unleashed.
Right, cool. So, Heather, we're going to start with yours. You want to start by reading it?
Yeah, so I saw a post a little while ago, and it caught my eye, and I was kind of interested to see what people's thoughts were on this. So it's from Boundaries for Stylists on Instagram.
That's their name?
Boundaries for stylist.
Yeah,
that's the name. Okay. Alicia's like, I cross all boundaries. Yeah. but it is Boundaries for Stylist. And the post was, when your boss wants to be friends, you should consider it a red flag. So yeah, that caught my eye because I'm a boss and I work with a lot of people that I consider good friends. I work with people that I consider friends. And I work with a lot of people that maybe aren't, like, in my friend circle, but I genuinely care about them.
Tell me this. So, was this a statement, like a period or question mark?
Period.
Okay.
When your boss wants to be friends, you should consider it a red flag, period.
Okay, the math is mathing.
Mm-hmm. Look at Alicia's face. All right, so let's rip into some of these comments. You guys got the post up?
Yep, we got it.
All right, Leash, what's your comment first?
Mine's from Bella V Beauty. She said that she sent this post to herself because she made this mistake. I was too nice and too kind and friendly, made sure I got everyone coffee every morning and dinner, and stayed late lunch if running behind. Always cleaned up after them, never taking a break myself, and at the end, always being taken advantage of, never again. This girl needs to read the let them theory.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, you gotta, like, it's kind of like what you said, like, we're bosses, but we have people that work with us that are our friends, and like, you gotta find like that equal balance. Like, you can be someone's friend, yeah, but like, you also need to know that you're gonna have to have hard conversations with them, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of part of the job.
Mine's cringing over there.
Here's the thing here, guys, is that we have the secret sauce. Like, we've figured it out over the years. For someone who might be new, and like, I'm going to go into my comment next, but I think it's easier said than done. That's what I'll say. Like, I think the idea is, sure, I would love to be friends with everybody, but it's very difficult when you're managing and you have to have difficult conversations. So
yeah, I mean, like, this seems like a full-time job. I'm trying to take care of these people. I'm just trying to like buy them over. Like, mm-hmm. I feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying in my head to go back to when we first opened and I didn't know shit about leading. And
well, you, like, weren't like this.
I wasn't, but I was opposite, actually. I was like, listen, it's business over friendship. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. I kind of feel bad. That's all.
Yeah.
How would you feel if like your boss was like constantly like doing all these things for you?
I personally wouldn't like it. I wouldn't want to be, like, I do see a boss as, like, a friend in a sense, but there is a boundary. Like, you are above me, and not in a bad way, but you're supposed to be, like, leading me. You're not supposed to, like, be my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, what's your comment?
All right, Blonde Like Us said, wait, this makes me so sad as I'm opening a salon and I want a fun but also trusting dynamic with my staff. I think you can have both, honestly, like fun and trusting. But like that comment you just read, like you don't need that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's so funny because that was mine. I had the same exact one. Really? Yeah, I had it saved.
Maybe we should have talked about that.
And... basically, like, I get it. Like, you want, you're opening a salon, you want a really fun dynamic, you want it to have a good energy and be exciting. And that was ultimately, like, I would say our goal when we first opened, like, yeah. And we went balls to the wall, you know, like, we were blowing every dollar that came in on building, like, a strong culture, yeah. And parties and, you know, we weren't even taking paychecks, but yet we were taking party buses to the Phillies games. Like, mm-hmm. We were really going all out to make sure that it had a fun energy. And I think that's so important. But mm-hmm. I also don't think it's impossible. Like, I feel bad because I think this girl's seeing, like, wait, that makes me so sad. Like, that, it's not true. Like, you can have a balance.
That, well, I was just going to say that there has to be a balance and you have to be giving your team both things. Mm-hmm. They need to have the fun side of it, the friendly side of it, knowing they can come to you and trust you. And, you know, our girls know our door's always open, whether it's something in the salon, outside of work, we're here, we're a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen, anything you ever need. But I think you need a balance. And I think it's important to provide that both sides of it to your mm-hmm. team. Like, you can't just go into work every day and, like, I'm your boss, roll with an iron fist. No one's going to want to stay.
Yeah, like, how are you going to connect with but if people?
You, right. But if you can come in and connect with your team and provide fun and, like, lightheartedness, and it's not always about business, like, you know, but on the flip side, give them everything they need in the sense of being a leader, showing them the, you know, leading the path, giving them the tools that they need, giving them the education and setting the example and the tone, then I think that's a win-win. But I think if you go one way or the other, that's a loss of a situation for you.
Yeah, and sometimes it's easier to, like, have conversations, like, with the people who are your friends, because you're like, come on, man, can you, like, do me a solid and, like, not do
that? Like, why are you making me be an asshole right now? Like, uh-huh. I don't want to be an asshole. You're making me be an asshole. Yeah,
so I think the general consensus is we don't really consider it a red flag unless you're, like, on the opposite, like, intense end of trying to, like, impress them and win them over.
Yeah.
With, which, you know, is the first one that you sent was like, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that this team loves me. Yeah. Like, that was her mindset.
Whereas, like, or his, hold them accountable.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. And it sounds like you know, that's what you're looking for. Like, you don't want somebody that's just going to be your best friend.
Yeah.
It's not even in our salon industry, but I have a friend who, told me a story one time, and she was telling me how much she hates her husband's boss. And I'm like, why do you hate him so much? He sounds amazing. Cause, like, he would always take the guys out. Like, so this was more of, like, a male structured business. And after work, like, they would have to stay late because he would want to take them all to dinner after work, or, like, out for drinks, or to the, whatever the big team was. The business is in New York City, obviously, so I'm sure they were voting for or rooting for the New York teams, but they would go to the events up there, and there was always something. And then I think that particular conversation I was having with her, she said, he called me from work and said, can you bring a bag to the city for me? I have to leave tonight to go to Vegas. My boss just booked us all trips. And she was like, this is ridiculous. But, like, it was like this guy was buying his team to be his friends. Mm-hmm. Like, he needed something to do that weekend. So, and these guys did anything he wanted because they didn't want to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, but in the end, this guy was really just pissing off everybody's wives.
Yeah. Sounds like he's got some habits he's looking for.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, so that's the flip side of it. Like, he's all about the fun, and I don't think he's focused on the business at all. Yeah.
Do you guys remember that event we went to? And this is actually the second time I think we're bringing this up on the podcast. It must have really left impact on me. The event we went to where the girl, she owned a few salons, I think, in New York City, and she stood on stage, and I'll never forget. I was like, oh, such a drab. And she basically was like, the second I stepped into salon ownership is the second I stopped being friends with my team. And it was like, I no longer went to the happy hours, and I no longer,
I remember,
I this. Was no longer, that was inappropriate for me.
That's when I went needed to put
a separation between me and the team. And I was like sitting there and I'm like, holy shit. Like if this is what she's telling me I need to do, like I'm in deep shit, because this is complete opposite of how we owned and operated our company.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if she at like an older stage of life than us at the time? Oh, wow. Okay. Because I can understand it now. Like now I'm more inclined to like not, I don't know, like be in that type of setting with, you know what I mean? Like be at a club.
With, no,
like,
I don't agree with team. You. And what I'm going to say is that here's the thing with you is that even though, you know, you're not in that mode, you still show up.
I know, but I'm
like,
saying
you show up simply to connect with the team.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, like, I feel like some of the stuff that we did back then, would I still be okay with it now? Probably not.
I hope not.
Like, we like went to like the clubs in AC, like those type of things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's definitely a line that can be drawn.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you have to, even when you are like engaging in those kind of events, you still need to be a leader. Like, you need to set a good example. You can't be out there like.
Would you guys say I was doing that?
Yes. I think people always looked up to you. You know how many times I'd be like, God, I wish I could twerk like Alicia.
Oh my God.
I can't even twerk, guys. Just calm down now.
But no, I think that you have to have a balance, like we were just talking about. Like, you have to bring both of it. And I think that's what makes a successful leader.
Yeah.
Who wants to connect with somebody that literally just doesn't want to connect with them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It probably so depends on like the company too. You know, like there's probably like more, I don't know, is there like more serious salon companies out there like that? Wait, don't.
This is bringing up like an interesting thought of mine, because the dynamic's very easy because we're all women.
Yeah.
The dynamic changes completely if
there's dudes.
You have a heterosexual male boss with a bunch of women that work for him. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Can, like things only change.
Yeah. Things can get creepy. Yeah. Not that they ever were, but they can get.
They can, for sure. I mean, I know specific situations within salons that, I mean, I haven't worked at, but I've heard about them. Yeah. And, like, that's, you know, I guess it can get really inappropriate really quickly.
Yeah, the lines need to be a little bit deeper in the sand for the heterosexual male bosses.
Not to blow up your spot. Was your owner male?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But the comment that... And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because it's kind of, we talked about it, but it's Jenna Parlor 58. And she said, I adore my girls. Getting to know them and their particular needs, likes, and frustrations helps us work together harmoniously. Yeah. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
So I think she's found her balance.
Yeah. All right. So the next post is Brit Siva. What's the biggest money lesson you've learned while working in the salon? Head, let's start with you.
All right, I'm happy to go with this one. Freshly Rooted Salon, and they said, have good tax prep, bookkeeping, separate accounts, and set aside for tax payments, etc. All that good tax stuff.
She's a genius.
Yeah, I don't know if it's whatever, but anyway, this was a lesson that was taught to me a long time ago. I think when we first opened. No, it couldn't have been when we first opened because we weren't getting paid then.
It was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. No, but I think it is so important to have somebody, a good bookkeeper that keeps everything in line, in check for you. I think it's so important to have an accountant that, you know, hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest things for me is estimated taxes, how important they are. The worst thing in the world is going to your accountant at the end of the year to file your taxes. And he's like, oh, and by the way, you got to write this check out and send it to the IRS and the state. And, you know, it's for an amount of money that you don't have sitting in your bank account right now. So
it's my favorite is like, hey, just letting you know you owe this much money and it's due
tomorrow,
next week. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with taxes though too, like once you get behind, like that's it, like they come knocking at your door, like they want their money, they don't care. And like I know some of like our employees, some of my family members, like they'll like come and take the money right out of your paycheck. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Well,
the penalties too, they are huge. They don't mess around at all. So lesson learned is how important to pay your estimated taxes every quarter, because yeah. it's so nice knowing that you had them paid at the end of the year when your accountant comes to you and says, oh, you owe this much, but you already paid that much. So you're pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's like a good feeling to have. So yeah. I make sure that I always have my books done, my bookkeeping's nice and clean, my accountant's on point, and my estimated taxes are paid.
Because yep. the Piper's coming to get paid.
Piper's coming. Piper's coming. All right. Leash, what do you got?
I have a comment from Danielle Nishiyama. You make more money by showing up ready. Makeup, hair, and attitude are so powerful. And I'm just going to have this on my grave, because till the day that I die, I will preach about how important it is to show up looking your best. Mm-hmm. Did anyone see that post by Cody Sanchez recently?
No.
Where she said there's an actual statistic that women who wear makeup, have their hair done, and look good make 37% more money than people who don't.
I believe it.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
I believe it.
Yeah. And it just drives me nuts when people, professionals, don't do that, because it's like, gosh.
So I wonder, like, if on my days off, if I like get up and do my hair and my makeup, will I be more successful at home? Will yes. I get more yes, done?
Probably.
Think yes. I'll get like more wash done, my house cleaned, my mm-hmm. kids out Wait, the door.
My mom easier. Used to like be big with that too. Like when we would go to like the airport or like go somewhere, she would like make us get dressed. And I'm like, Mom, like all my friends wear pajamas to the airport. Like, why do I have to, you know, get dressed? Like we're going on a plane. Like I want to be comfortable. And she was like, well, sometimes they bump you up to first class, and if they see you looking like that, they're not going to.
And she's not wrong.
Jackie,
but hold on, Jackie, I'll never forget when we were going and looking at spaces for Wayne, she would show up in 6-inch stiletto heels walking us all around these buildings. Like, yeah, she's always been that way. But I will say the apple don't fall far from the tree, because you always look on point. Always.
Leash, I got to say, even in your running videos, you're like, you got your jewels on, you're like looking good.
It's very important to me. I know.
Yes. Well, it is important to you. And your post the other day, when you were like, own the day.
Yeah.
Like, that was screaming at me, because like I was like, God, this is amazing that she, like, that is your reality. Like, it really is. Like, you get up and you slay your day, and by the end of the day, you own it. For me, I'm like, own the day. I'm lucky if I survive the day.
But like, also, how bad does it suck? Don't you guys always run into people when you're like not putting together?
Oh, always.
And I know it. Like, I'm in the car and it's like I had, you know, nothing, whatever, and I'm like, I literally have to run into CVS to grab a gift certificate. Of course, like, I run into someone from high school and I'm like, hey, how are you? Like,
are you like that on your days off, or do you like?
Oh yeah, no, I feel like I always wear makeup. Like, if I'm leaving the house,
yeah.
I mean, there's like an off chance I don't wear makeup, but on those off chances, it's always me running into someone I know.
Yeah. Well, you always look good professionally, so thank God you're on this episode.
That's like, thank you. My favorite story about that is Bo, when she, her and her husband took their kids to summer camp down the shore, and she had on like an ugly like beach cover up and a baseball hat. Like, no makeup on, nothing. They dropped the kids off at summer camp, and they walked right into her ex-boyfriend from high school and his wife and their kids. And the next day, she was like, I was so embarrassed. So I went, and I got all my makeup done, and I had this, like, sexy, like, beach cover-up. And she's like, we get in the car to drop the kids off at summer camp. And her husband called her right out. It was like, oh, you're looking forward to seeing him today?
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
But, yeah, it's so funny.
Oh, all right, cool. Funny. What do you have, Joanna?
All right, and Livin.Jen said, if it costs you your peace, it ain't worth the money, honey. Mm. That is so true.
It is so true. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
And I love it, because I feel like that's like so true with life in general. Like, whatever it is, like, if it's affecting you and your own inner peace, then like, no. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter the cost. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Honestly, like,
are there any specific scenarios that pop in your head with that statement?
Yeah. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're just miserable, but you're still making, like, good money.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would rather, like, make less, but be happy to come to work and to, like, do what I do. Yep. Instead of being miserable and being like, oh, well, I'm making $600 more. Mm-hmm. No. Like, I'd rather be poor and happy.
Yeah. I like it.
Let's put it that way.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I could think of, like, two particular stylists that I think just, like, fell out of love with doing hair. And the last couple months of them being with us, like, it was just like everything was like kind of like pulling teeth, and I'm like, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't who like they are. And it's like the second they were like set free, like, you know, I felt like their true personalities came back out.
Well, this is, I have a very firm belief when it comes to like high school kids and them, you know, we talk about this often too. It's like the moms will come to me and be like, hey, you should talk to my daughter. I want to get her to go to hair school. And I'm like, no, hell no. Like, if she's not passionate about that and this isn't what she wants to do, she's going to be completely miserable.
Right.
And like, that's a no. So I feel like that goes hand in hand with that.
Heavy that on that.
Yeah.
If you like, if you're just doing it because you want to skip out on college and you think it's the easy way out, this is not the easy way out. Okay? Not at all. But it is like, it is such rewarding. A privilege to do it. You're you know? Right.
But it is easy for people that are passionate about right. it.
Yeah, true. You know? Exactly.
It's for second sure. nature.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So mine is hair soaked in bleach. Don't ever make any assumptions as to how much money a client is willing to spend and get comfortable talking about money. I hear so many stylists saying, do you want insert retail product or upgrade, and then proceed to talk the client out of it because they're afraid to talk money. So yeah. True.
There's two sides to it. Like, I understand, you know, I feel like we hear from like our team a lot, like, oh, you can't just say like stay out of their wallets. But like, you can't just completely not give them the entire experience either. You know what I mean? Like,
I also feel like my experience behind the chair is I had clients who were financially struggling, but their priority was making sure their hair was well maintained. So they were spending the money on the product. And then opposite, I had the most wealthy clients in the world who had zero interest in buying product or, you know, basically paying more for something than they needed to. So I feel like you should never assume because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, I feel like, I'm the kind of person, I'll buy anything as long as I trust you.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I will say, like,
if I trust them, I'll buy it.
You will if buy it. You're easy.
If I got a facial or something and they like were like, this would be really good for your skin or whatever, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Good. Yep.
Or the dentist.
Consumer-wise, though, anything. I get fucking pissed, though, when I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I need this to solve my problem, and like I buy it and it doesn't help or makes it worse.
So true.
You know what I mean? That's when I'm like, like, do they even know what the hell they're talking about?
I'm a victim of that with gadgets. Like, I'm a sucker for gadgets on Instagram. Like, everyone uses like a roller or something, and I'm like, oh, I'll get that. And then it does nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, when are you going to learn your lesson? Like, when are you going to stop listening to these dumb influencers who are just like getting paid on the side and telling you how great this product is? I don't know. That's me. I'm a sucker for it. But if I do trust you, you could tell me anything and I'll spend the money on it.
Yeah.
And that happened to me with like Botox. I went to a provider who was doing Botox for me, and she gave me way more than I've ever gotten in my life and told me that I needed this and that. And then I needed all these like creams and stuff. And I just didn't trust her. Like, something was off with her.
I need to know this.
And then I left. You guys know who I'm talking about. I told you. And I never went back. And then I found Dr. Barak. And she just completely won me over. Like, I just felt like her genuinity. And she just knew what she was doing and knew what I needed and had no problem telling me, no, you don't need that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I tried to tell her the other day, I want to get a facelift. And she told me no.
Damn, she told me yes.
What?
Yeah, I'm already scheduled.
She told me no. She's not giving me a facelift. But I just feel like if you can trust them and you know that they know what they're talking about, then it's easy to buy something from someone.
Yeah.
And to talk money and be comfortable.
Yeah, you gotta care.
You do. Like, that's just it. Like, if somebody came to me and was like, here, you need this $180 face cream.
And you don't even know the first thing about me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, this goes back to the golden rule, guys. It's selling versus educating.
Yeah.
Like, if you're coming off as salesy and your goal here is to simply sell versus you genuinely caring about the client and if this product is going to move the needle for you at home, like, that's...
Well, here, this is interesting. Yesterday, I walked up front in the salon. And I walked up, I was looking at the retail shelves like I always do, just to make sure everything's positioned right and not dusty. And I saw a product that I never saw there before. And I'm like, oh, it really caught my eye. And it was pretty. And it was, their packaging was doing everything it was supposed to do. It's screaming at me, you know, you need this. You need this. I picked it up. Lexi looked at me and goes, put that back down. It's too heavy for your hair. And I was like, oh, thanks, Lex. She's like, yeah, that won't be good for you. That's going to weigh you down. And I'm like,
this is God.
If it wasn't for Lexi, I literally would have gotten that product and left with it and probably went home and been miserable. But like the fact that she's educated and knew what she was saying,
yeah,
you know, and it sucked. I really wanted it, but it's not for me.
It's so good. I love that.
All right, so here we are, our next Unleashed post from our friend Nick Marabella. He put a post on.
He's the best.
That says, here we go. It says, do you know why your client leaves you for another stylist? And then he has, you raised your prices, you gave a bad haircut, you always run behind, your salon has no parking. But his answer is, you're inconsistent.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yolanda 72087208 says, it's time. Mine is precious. If you're not ready at my appointment. I love how like clients are commenting on this. Did you notice that? And it's not good. Like stylists.
It's pretty cool. He's got a massive audience, I think.
Yeah. But it's time. Mine is precious. If you're not ready at my appointment time, I'm out. When I hit that door, greet me and be ready. Not rinsing someone else's hair. A lot of issues with these places. They overbook and expect you to sit and wait. And I'm a sister for the overbooked situation, but I'm also somebody who doesn't like to spend a ton of time somewhere, and if that includes me sitting there waiting and not like actually having the service done, like, you lost me. Sorry.
I agree with you 100%. And I also, for me, I don't like having a service, I don't like sitting in someone's chair for 4 or 5 hours either. So that, I just want to go real quick, because my comment that I picked up on is very similar to yours. Debbie.keener, and she says, I left several because they were always running behind. No other reason. My time is valuable too. And I find it interesting because Nick commented back and said, inconsistent times, that's frustrating. Underneath it, somebody said, I hear you. Another comment said, I'm just curious, have you left doctors as well? They run behind as well, not arguing or trying to be a smartass, just genuinely curious.
She definitely runs behind.
Yeah.
Wait, I just saw his saw his response to this comment. Love that. You must go through a lot of hairstylists though. What happens if you run late in traffic? Do you stop going to that salon as well?
Oh my God. I like it.
And then somebody else said, 9 times out of 10 it's because previous clients have come strolling in 15 minutes late. As the day goes on, it just gets worse.
Yeah, but true, but you can like call them and let them know, you know? Like you gotta
Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah, I feel like for me, like, time is of so much value because I don't have enough of it. Mm-hmm. I'm so spread thin that if I find 5 minutes to go do something for myself, I cringe. Like, I know I could be doing a million other things, so it needs to be something quick, in and out, fast.
I feel like when it comes to this, like, there's something else. There's another piece to the puzzle here, and I think that it's around the actual stylist, and if they're running late, they have an energy shift that then drifts into the client, and I think that they might feel like they're being rushed, even if they're not being rushed, like, because the stylist is all disgruntled about whatever just happened, and the stylist or whoever showed up late, and now they have to explain themselves to you. Like, my point is that if you are running late, you know, like you said, call and try to make an adjustment. Be respectful of their time. Let them know that you're a little bit behind or whatever. And also, like, chill the fuck out. Like, you don't need to be all stressed out bitching at me for the first 5 minutes of my appointment about how your other person showed up late. Like, it's just, I think that there is another element to it that can completely disrupt an appointment. Not only being late, it's now that your energy is completely different because you're disgruntled over this. So
yeah, transparency and like accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being late is like one part of it, but the other part is really frustrating too. Like, when you're used to going and getting like a haircut and you see a stylist and it's like, all right, 45 minutes, I'm in and out. And then you go see a stylist, it takes an hour and a half to cut your hair or like color. I mean, I've had a stylist that took over 4 hours to color my hair one time. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, you get your friend over there to come help? Because I need to go. Like,
I
can't sit here this long.
If the quality is there though, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm waiting some extra time, like it better be like on point. But if it's not, then, you know.
I don't know. I'm just one of those people. I'm crazy with time. A doctor could tell me I need a life-threatening surgery, and I'm going to be like, how long is my recovery time?
How long is this going to take?
Am I going to be out of commission for? Because I'll let you know if I'm going to go through with it or not.
It's so true.
Chicken piccata in the crock pot.
seriously times everything for me, so I can relate to all these comments, kind of.
All right, Joanna, what do you have?
You think it's okay to let me leave the salon with stained skin around the hairline or on the face, or grab the scissors and say, just a snip, before I can say no. I also stopped going to one girl because she started charging to blow dry after a color service. So I actually really liked this one. I think you really should make a big effort to get the color off someone's face. Yeah. Like, that is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. They have things to do. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to go to the salon and then I'm going to go home. No, like, maybe they're going to the supermarket or going out to dinner, like, right after.
And it's not like they're not going to notice it.
Exactly.
Wait, come on. Like, flashbacks of, like, the first salon we worked at when, like, it was just an expectation. Like, oh, yeah, that'll come off in, like, a couple days. Like, or, I don't know, you smoke cigs? Like, rub some soap and ash together and that should get it off.
That was a thing, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
Or, like, Windex. Like,
oh, Windex. Yeah, there were so many random things.
Can't help you with that one. Have a good day.
Oh, my God.
But I feel like that is absolutely, like, the whole thing that she said about, you know, leaving with, it's just like complete disregard and not even acknowledging, like, oh, you know, you have this stained skin and it's like, just live with it. Like, no, like, I'm not going to live with this. Like, number one, like, put some barrier cream on first. Yeah. And number two, like, attempt to get this off. And because it's just like not acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was guilty of letting people walk out. But, I mean, I've had clients, like, not complain about the prices, but I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be, like, charging these people this money, they better get the best experience out of it. Mm-hmm. Even if I am a level one, level two, level three, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's their money. They're investing in their hair. Like, it's our job to make them happy. Yeah. You know?
Your mindset.
Yeah. What was your other comment?
The other one, it was another lady. She said, I never leave a stylist because of prices. I'm willing to pay what their skill's worth. I leave one when I'm getting inconsistent hair color each time. Two, they leave me waiting all day and they are trying to do 2 to 3 other clients at the same time. And three, they get their assistants to blow dry my hair.
Mm-hmm. Which trickles us into yours probably.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go with mine. So B_Beachy says, I hate double booking. I'm paying over $200 every 6 weeks. I better get your undivided attention for 2 hours. I'm sorry, but no. So Nick's response was, if you're processing, what do you need the person to do? Are you paying for the 2 hours or are you paying for an amazing result? Which he's so head on with. Like, you know, like, to you, a consumer or a client, like, it shouldn't matter. I mean, I get it. Like, I think that the bigger issue that maybe she's struggling to identify is that you're not happy with the experience.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the problem. It's not the fact that you expect this person to be at your beck and call for 2 hours. Because if you're charging $200 and let's say it takes her 45 minutes for the application, then it's going to be a lot more if you want 2 hours of full undivided attention. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. There's also stylists out there who, like, cannot figure out double booking too. Like, they can give themselves so much time and yet they'll still be having clients sitting at the bowl wet while they're doing another client too. Yep. So I think, you know, being able to figure that out as a stylist is super important. You can't just, like, double book and, like, expect every client to be okay with it if you haven't, like, nailed it down yourself.
Yeah. And also I feel like to, you know, like, I guess basically what I'm trying to say is that for clients, they may have a really bad experience with somebody who's double booking because they don't know what they're doing. They're not confident, whatever the case may be. But that doesn't mean the stylist next to them isn't able to provide an exceptional experience while still double booking or servicing multiple clients at once.
Yeah. Do you double book yet?
No. I mean, I found myself, like, getting double booked sometimes.
Okay.
And, like, surprisingly, I can handle it pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm in a weird spot right now where I'm finishing everything like 15, 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh,
you know what that means.
I got to change my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the minute I do, I'm going to have long hair down to someone's butt.
No, you won't. You will be fine.
Figure those scenarios out. Yeah.
But the other thing on this is I do think it matters. Like, if you are, for our salon companies, double booking is normal. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is what it is and it happens and our clients know about it. I think it is very difficult for someone who may be going to a salon where they don't double book and everything is done by these like blocks. And mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going to start double booking. I can see how a client or a consumer would feel that that would be a negative impact on their experience.
Yeah.
Because they weren't used to it. And why are we doing this now?
Mm-hmm. I also think the double booking has, there needs to be strategy behind it. And I feel like for me, like, if I went to a hairstylist and she, like, worked on my hair and then sent me over and was like, oh, my apprentice is going to blow you out, and then you get your blowout and then the apprentice brings you up and you leave, and it's like, that was it? Like, I was with her for 20 minutes and then I never saw her again. Where I feel like the better scenario would be like, oh, you're going to go with my apprentice. She's going to blow you out. I'll be back over, though, before you leave to check, make sure everything's good. Mm-hmm. And I think yeah. that's important. Like, that's a step that was missed that could turn somebody off from... You know,
there's a finesse.
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to work with this apprentice, you need to have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, first of all, Joanna, thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you guys so much. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, all right. We will catch you guys on the next episode. Hit like and subscribe. We'll see you soon.